patrons taking turns in directing the others to voice opinions about one or another promising situation. In the City of Spiders, after all, this was the day, typically the only day, of communal hope and renewal, the one day reserved for the premise that the whole of Menzo Berenzon was greater than the familial parts.
"I was so thrilled to receive your invitation," Matron Mother Quenthel said to Beerton at one point.
Gromp watched Manolan stiffen, for the invitation had been solicited in no uncertain terms, of course.
"We are the elders, the cornerstones of Menzo Berenzon, the constancy within the swirl of continually shifting power and allegiance."
Bayenry gave a little, almost embarrassed laugh and added,
"Although some things, like the pinnacle of Menzo Berenzon's power, are indeed eternal."
An amazing show of hubris by that self-proclaimed pinnacle, Gromp thought. He wasn't surprised, as obviously were both Beerton and Manolan, or taken aback, but rather more intrigued. Had his sister made this remark only a day earlier, Gromp would have thought it a clumsy blunder, but now, after her intimate melding with the experiences of Ivanel, he knew it to be a cunning twist. Matron Mother Ivanel the Eternal did not make mistakes, and so Gromp now expected, to his own surprise, the same competence from Quenthel.
"Where has the trust and friendship between Bayenry and Fay Branch gone?" she asked with an exaggerated sigh.
"Thinned by death, no doubt,"
Matron Beerton replied, a subtle hint of annoyance creeping into her voice. Gromp coughed to cover his chuckle. Thinned by death was a perfect description, the old archmage thought, for House Fay Branch had lost so many nobles over the last few decades to untimely death. Beerton and her house had retreated, defensively crouched, with more than a little suspicion that House Bayenry had played a role in many of those untimely deaths, with good reason.
"Yes," Quenthel agreed, playing along. "Too much thinned."
Manolan Fay shifted in her seat, clearly uncomfortable, on the verge of blurting out the obvious and totally inappropriate question as to why Matron Mother Quenthel had demanded this shared dinner.
"I am told that Matron Zerith will soon depart," Matron Beerton said. "What will become of the Zorlaran Tower on Kellart's Orl, I wonder?"
"It will not be open to the new third house," Matron Mother Quenthel replied.
"Whomever that will be,"
said Matron Beerton, somewhat slyly.
"It will not be Fay Branch, if that is your thought," Matron Mother Quenthel replied,
and now even Gromp could not suppress his incredulity. Manolan shifted again and seemed on the verge of lashing out. Matron Beerton rocked back away from Quenthel, her mouth hanging open. Around them, everyone at the table quieted suddenly, and Gromp began considering the words to a spell that would efficiently evacuate him from this potentially lethal bar fight.
"You are no ambitious child, Beerton," Matron Mother Quenthel went on, undeterred,
and even upping the stakes here by leaving off the female's title.
"It is no secret in the city that Fay Branch is considered without allies, and that Matron Shindia of the fanatical Melarni has set her eyes on ascending the ladder. Were you to reach for Matron Zerith's seat at the ruling council, you would have three superior houses coveting your downfall."
"Such banter is not appropriate on the Festival of the Founding," Manolan Fay interrupted.
"Nor is it an excuse for a priestess to forget her place," Matron Beerton scolded.
"Your exchange will cost both our houses the favor of Lolf,"
Manolan pleaded with Matron Mother Quenthel.
"Dear child,"
Matron Mother Quenthel, who was no older than Manolan, replied, her voice dripping with condescending sweetness,
"do not ever again make the error of explaining to me the desires of Lolf."
There was an old saying among the drow that the ears of a matron mother were so keen they could catch the rustle of a strand of hair falling to the floor. In that moment, the room became so suddenly quiet that Gromp believed the proverb was not an exaggeration.
Matron Mother Quenthal looked to Matron Beerton, as if inviting her to speak, but the other woman did not oblige, and instead went back to her meal, as did everyone else. Not another word was spoken for a long, long while. House servants cleared the plates quickly when the meal was ended, and Matron Beerton led the group to an adjacent, even larger room where the attendees milled around in smaller groups. Gromph made his way to Velkrist and the other wizards, but kept his attention quietly attuned to the focus of the evening, the matron mothers and their respective high priestesses. He watched as Sosumtu rushed over to speak with Matron Beerton, pointing off to the south to another set of rooms. A moment later, Beerton, Sosumtu, and Marinial moved off that way, leaving Matron Mother Quenthal, so conveniently, alone with Manolin Fay. That pair headed off as well, but to the west. Gromph rubbed his thumb against a ring on his index finger, secretly sending an invisible projection in their wake, his senses following the duo as they crossed out of the room, down a small corridor, and through a set of double doors onto a balcony looking out to the pillar of Narbondel, and beyond it to the western reaches of Menzo Baranzon. Matron Mother Quenthal looked back, her expression curious. A wave of her hand shut the door, and did more than that, Gromph realized, for his spell was no more, the connection broken. Beside him, Velkrist chattered on about something to do with a Zorlaran expedition to Gontalgrim, the Fey branch mages hanging on his every word. The success of the Zorlarans, the one drow house that elevated arcane magic to the level of the divine, held great implications for them as wizards and as male drow. Gromph pretended to listen. Of course, he knew far more about the goings-on in Gontalgrim than Velkrist ever would, since he had arranged the expedition in the first place. But he kept his gaze to the west, to the doors through which Matron Mother Quenthal and Manolin Fay had exited, almost expecting an explosion of some kind to tear the western wing off the compound of Fay Branch. He couldn't predict the movements of Quenthal any longer, he realized then. And he could not control them or even influence them to any great extent. The implications of his gift to his sister weighed heavily upon his old shoulders.
"I owe you a great apology," Bayenri said to Manolin when they were alone. The heat glow of Narbondel had begun to diminish by then, the day growing late. The priestess stared at Bayenri, suspicion dominating her expression. "For years now, I have been abused."